SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving. I keep it moving.
But here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
yeah,
right
for
now.
North. And the dream team of callers.
Right? I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas. Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub Show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Holding it down is what we do. Hour number two of Moneyline. Hot topics. Yeah, you came to the right place here. And also, your phone calls, 844-843-6879. Let's get right to, Kevin, those phone calls out here. The Moose is calling in. He's got some action. We're ready to go. It's the weekend. Moose, talk to us.
I tell you what, Cincinnati Reds, Milwaukee tonight. So I just pulled a ticket. For two dingers, both for Milwaukee. Yelich and, I don't know, is it Adams or Adamas? Really?
Adamas.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Close.
Adamas. Okay, thanks, sir. So I'll just refer to that basketball player as VW. I guess old Brittany got knocked around a little bit last night, huh? Out in a restaurant in Las Vegas. Tried to go up to
Moose,
OVW
by the way, Moose.
Security. Yeah.
Moose, talk to me on this. You've done security details here, right? You know, you're moving people around. You got your eyes on the crowd here. Are we, like we said, as I joke, like Kevin and the boys rumbling down the hall like you're trying to hold up security. Hey. Now, is it a little bit different where you see, you know, like kids come up? Are we always on point because we don't know? How does that work here when you are, you know, looking out for a superstar of some sort? Do you take your eyes off the prize, so to speak, when it's like, hey, man, it's not a lot of big people around are here?
Different people are assigned different responsibilities. So, for instance, you're going to have somebody that's going to... should be pretty darn close to him. So if something adverse should happen, they would want to get him egress as much as possible to get him away from the scene while the group around him are going to deal with the outside threat or the agitator or who what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So everybody's going to be mic'd in. He's going to have his private group. You're going to have somebody basically in central control running the radio. So if there has to be outside assistance come in, then that goes down with that. So, for instance, my approach has always been that there's a use of force continuum, okay? My approach has always been smiling, hey, how you doing? You kind of size up the situation or the individual or the alleged threat. I mean, from what it sounded like with Brittany, all she wanted to get was a picture with this guy. And who knows, she could have startled one of the security guards. And one of his instant reactions, is he's going to act. Because I've been in numerous critical incidents, and you go into, like, this funk. You go into a tunnel vision, and you don't think. You just react by your training, okay?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it that goes into it. But, like, you know, a young kid coming up, you know, hey, you know, soft hand approach. You know, be nice to the people, but you know, you use that use of force continuum as you deem the necessary threat. So it's a very fluid it's a very fluid situation. But so that's kind of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you guys have a great weekend. Best sports show, Sports Grid. You guys are great. K Dub, enjoy your weekend, my friend. All right, DRS. Talk to you guys later.
Love it. There we go. Moose checking in. I love that. You get boots on the ground right there. And by the way, like my security team, like when I rolled into the Ocean Resort, like we weren't pushing people around. Like, I want to meet the people. They understand that. And when I pull up to the set, look, you can't spot my security. That's how good they are. Like, they're like, you know what? We're going to watch from afar. Things pop off, like, come out of the woodwork there at that point here. So that's just the way it goes down. By the way, this weekend also, Kevin, the Major League Baseball draft. Now, hit me up with the guy's name. Who's going number one overall?
All right. What is it? Skenes?
I love that. I believe it is Skenes. Like, as I watched maybe an inning or two, Kevin, of the World Series out there. Yeah. So I think
so
I got Skenes correctly.
Baseball guy, huh?
21-year-old absolute gem flamethrower. Now, the joke for me was, like, because you could, this is a very good draft. Like, 1-2, like, you're getting a Golden Spikes Award winner and also a guy that you think is going to be a dominant pitcher. And the joke really, again, is, like, Pittsburgh's going to get that. And, like, if you're the Pittsburgh, like, ownership group, it's like high fives around the room, as we like to say, going, like, man, I can't wait to see what this package turns out to be in 4 or 5 years when we trade the guy before he is super dominant and we think we can keep him. Baseball is just, it's such a wild, like, look, the Wild West. And also, I saw another thing, Kevin, with Major League Baseball, right? Because the draft is this weekend. Like, the Kansas City Royals over the past 3 years had more money to spend on the open market. But I don't say open market's not the right word. Like, the draft market with bonus money. And they said every single team that for 3 years had the most money made the playoffs in that third year. The Royals are worse than they ever are. So I don't know who they spend their money on or what actually happens. It's a crapshoot that the Major League Baseball draft seems to be. Looks like Skenes might be a surefire guy out of LSU. Ton of hot topics to come. Yeah, we're going to talk about BetMGM moving out in Cincinnati. Where do you hear this story, K-Dub? And I think it makes a lot of sense. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports gambling. Sports gambling, people. That's what we do. It's what we love. By the way, there was an interesting report here coming out. And, you know, Moose, the great state of Ohio out here. I want to ask this question because it has nothing against the book itself. But sometimes we just figure, like, oh, these are great ideas. You see this popping up quite a bit, Kevin. And most recently, again, in Cincinnati, which I'm going to get to the story. But you see, like, oh, look at this. In Washington, hey, we're going to put a sports book in the arena. That's going to be awesome. And every one of these 17,000 people is going to filter through this arena and make their wagers at this said sports book. It doesn't work that way. The Cincinnati Reds and BetMGM, they put one of those, hey, we're going to spend a lot of money and put a fancy sports book in the arena or in the stadium here. BetMGM is already pulling the plug in Cincinnati after like a few months, Kevin, saying, you know what, we're going to move to a different district. We're going to go downtown and see if it works out a little bit better. And I agree with that because hear me out on this, Kevin. And I'm assuming in Ohio, it's the same as New Jersey, can open up an application and say, okay, a sports app, right? Hey, DraftKings, FanDuel, put a bet on this. I don't think I would ever, like, go to an Eagles game and be like, well, I got cash in my hand. Let me go bet in this book and then go sit in my seat here. They actually lost money on the venture by putting the sports book there. That whole theory of, like, hey, you put a sports book in the arena, it's going to be wild. Like, no. Most people like me and you have already have our wagers in the minute we walk into the arena.
I was going to even take it a step further, Don. Daryl, when was the last time you were at a sports book? I guess Oceans, right?
Oceans, yes.
All right. Now,
and did not make a wager there.
I was going to say, but did you by chance make a wager on your phone while you were at Oceans?
No, I didn't, because it wasn't. I already had stuff because, again, I wasn't there like all day. Like, hey, I'm down here for the entire day, because I would have.
Yeah.
But those wagers were placed before I ever got there. We did an early morning show. I'm not betting that early per se. Actually, you know what? Wrong. I did, because I went on the FanDuel in the morning like I do every morning and at least make one wager on our same game parlay.
Right.
But no, it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to do a same game parlay at the Ocean Resort. No. And I like you bringing this up, too, because I remember being down at Borgata maybe a month or two, Kevin, after, like, sports gambling, like, went live. But you could still bet on your phone, but I just wanted to have, like, that appearance. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go get a physical ticket. I believe it was a game I bet was, like, the Padres or something. I ended up losing anyway on a first five wager. I think it might have been, like, a first five over. But, like, yeah, no, I go to Atlantic City all the time, Kevin. I never place wagers in their sportsbook live. anywhere. No casino. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, or whoever is down there. I don't. It's my phone. Bang. Knock it out. Go have fun.
So, and the reason I was kind of jumping to that point there is I don't place wagers at the window that often, even when I'm at a sports book, and the whole point is to be at a sports book. I'm not going to go to the game and then get on what is probably the worst line imaginable
Correct.
To
at
deal a with a ticket guy and go make a bet there. That sounds awful. You know, I think the last time I made a bet at a window, I'm not sure if this is correct, but I had bet an over on a baseball game. It actually happened to be at Oceans, and it was a Padres Nationals game, I think, an over under of like a 9, and one of those games where, you know, San Diego opens it up, the score's like 16-2 in the fourth inning. I'm like, hey, can you pay me? They're like, no, don't pay it till the game's over. And it's like, this is ridiculous. Now, and I remember I told this story, and Shower Pan's like, you're the worst, because I basically went up there multiple times before that game was over and said, like, listen, fellas, give me my money. This is getting ridiculous. But, Donnie, why would I do that when on the sports book they pay you the second you get that 10th
Most run? Of them. Yes, most of them pay you out immediately when that happens. I know Bet365, I mean, before they're so fast, like, I see the run come across, I go log in, my money's already in the account. Like, they're like, oh, okay, we know what happened, and we're going to press this lever and do it. You're right. And also, being on your phone, or just say, let's just say, you know, you're not on your computer typically when you're at a casino, but you have like 6 or 7 apps already downloaded. You go through and go, you know what? I want to bet later on tonight. It's like, okay, the Phillies are on a West Coast swing against the Athletics. The total at this book is 8.5. The total at this one is 9. The total at this one is 7.5 with extra juice. You can shop around, but you're so correct. Like, I've been, like, you know, to Costa Rica where there's, you know, betting kiosk, and it's like, what is this? Like, just because it's fun and it's here, I'm not paying -145. I go on my phone to get -110 just because I'm live here. It's crazy how it works in that fashion. But the evolution of, hey, that's great, there's a sports book, and the atmosphere of the sports book where you place your wager. But the same way, Kevin, go to Las Vegas. Now, I haven't been to Vegas in a while. Mobile gaming, I don't even know how it works or if they all have mobile gaming, but let's just say I'm going to the Superbook, right? And if I have a phone where I can get 10 different books, I'm not just at the Superbook going, hey, no big deal. Chiefs are -7.5, let me take that. Like, hold on, Donnie, go on your phone. FanDuel's got them at 6.5. Why would you take, well, I'm here. I just want to bet real cash and go up and get a ticket. Like, no, it doesn't work like the way. You have just as much fun firing the wager on your phone and watching it in the sports book than betting at that sports book and going to cash. Like, I've had multiple tickets. I've watched games in Vegas and at Bet Live from 2002 all the way up to what, last time I went out there? 17, 18, something like that for the Alabama-Clemson game. Like, it's fun to bet live, I get it, but if there's a better app on your phone to do it with, yeah, I'm not doing it the other way.
No, and I think there is, I'm not saying get rid of sportsbooks. They're a great time.
No, I love sportsbooks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're a great time. But what we basically just did is explain that if I'm going to a sportsbook, there's still a good chance I'm going to bet on my phone. Now, somebody explain to me why there then would ever be a sportsbook inside an NFL stadium. Because I'm not going to watch the game
inside
the sports book at an NFL stadium. That's
no
crazy.
Need. But I think the old school logic was like these teams were just running out to partners going like, hey, man, DraftKings, build it awesome. Like, spend $5 million on your book. And they go, well, okay, people are walking through, might get a beer if there's like a sports bar. But, hey, guys, why is anybody gambling in here? Because they already did it on their phone. Like, if there was no mobile gambling, yes, it makes sense. But some people are like, oh, man, look at that. Gambling doesn't work. Like, they spent, you know, $3 million to put a book in Cincinnati's Great American Ballpark, and they're already leaving after 3 months. Like, no, people aren't showing up to the ballpark and like, okay, let's walk through this sports book and wager. The people that are doing that have already wagered and have 17 different books they can use, and they're not just going to say, I'll take the Reds at -150 tonight when they already have it at -130 in another book 20 minutes ago.
You would actually have to be, you would have to become you would have to basically post bad numbers if you wanted to get action as those books. Like a book inside the Cincinnati Reds ballpark, whenever the Reds are -110, they're offering a
like
plus 100.
Oh, I like this. Now, see, now we're getting started here. You show up to the arena. Like, you show up to an Eagles game, and you, let's just say it's Eagles-Giants. The Eagles, you can get them at -2.5 when it's -5.5 out here. You see what I mean? Like, I like that. Now, that would never happen because books are like, hey, you know what? You know, those can't be unlimited. But imagine if it was like the FanDuel Sportsbook saying it's an odds boost, $50 max bet. Hey, come down to the book right now, get a voucher, you'll get a burger and a fry and a chance to bet them legitimately at a much better price, but a maximum of $50. I would actually go do that. Absolutely, I would.
You get a better line for, you know, a $50 wager and a drink ticket, and people will go there in droves.
Home run.
And again, and we always say this. People say, oh, so what, you're just going to pay out the people in there $50. Look, if I'm online, well, I might as well throw a couple of other things then in, right?
Yes, correct.
And also, look, if you want to go, like, to the evil angle of this, how many people down are going to place that $50, win the Eagle bet, never get back online and can collect their $50?
Exactly. Yes, that's always my favorite thing. Like, well, there might be one guy who shows up at his only game, and it's the only fit to stop the madness, man. That guy who never bet before threw $50 on a great line for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know what you just did? You made that guy maybe a gambler for life, going like, man, that's fun. What are we doing next week, Dad? Where's the game at next week? Or the dad that's never gambled, go, hey, that's pretty fun. Hey, every time we come down here, why don't we do this? It's like my pops used to love the 50-50 the Eagles game. The bigger the game, the higher the stakes. And I think he took more pride in how much 50-50 tickets are we getting here? Forget about the actual minus 3.5 on the game. That's the fun we would have. A lot more hot topics coming down to, do we have some movement in the Britney Spears case here? We just Mike, Stani, Kevin here, hour number two on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot topics all the way around here on Moneyline, hour number two edition. Little Tom Brady action. By the way, you know, we're always dipping into things. How about this, K-Dub? We had a white party last week out there on, I assume it was what, Hamptons? Who's who out there? Great security. As we were talking about security here with Britney Spears, which we're going to get back to in just a second here. But Tom Brady in the news a few different ways today. Obviously, you know, he got divorced from Gisele Bündchen, his wife. Power couple extraordinaire, no longer. Tom Brady not going to play football, apparently, for now. We don't know if he's going to be in the booth calling games. But the one thing we do know is he's got a lot of money. But no matter how much money you have, when you lose money, it's got a sting. $18 million, was it $18 million, I believe, Tom Brady lost with FTX? Or was it more? $30
million. $30
million he lost. Yes, so as a couple, close to $50 million. And granted, it looked like one of those things where you get on the ground floor of, because you hear it all the time, like Kobe Bryant, I remember back in the day, getting on the ground floor of like Body Armor. Now, he passed away, but I remember when they like sold his shares, I was like, yeah, he put in like $5 million and took like $100 million out. I believe like 50 Cent did that with another drink, as well, another like
Vitamin
water. Like, yeah, at the ground floor, let me just put a couple $1 million in. In like 2 years, it shoots through the roof. Well, FTX and crypto looked like it was going to be like impenetrable. Like, get on the ground floor. This is just such a money-making machine. Hand over your money and you are going to be a billionaire in like 10 years. Didn't work out that way. But the joke rolls over. Not on Tom Brady, as we can say. Like, he lost all that money. Does Trevor Lawrence have any money in his bank account, Kevin? Is there anything in his... Because is he actually paying the Jaguars now to play football for them?
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing was so... But hey, man, just so everybody knows, he's investing every dollar he got in that rookie contract. It's like, what?
He's getting paid in crypto.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I guess. That stuff was always bizarre. You know me. I don't have a great grasp on the crypto stuff. I don't root for people to lose money. That's craziness. But I will say this. If this means that crypto is not going to take over the universe and us non-crypto havers and we're now not going to die, which I feel like was off to the tone, Donnie, of the crypto people. It's like, just so you know, the end result is you're all going to be phased out and lost at sea if you don't have crypto. If that's not going to be the case, that's a good news as far as I can tell.
Like in 5 years, I'm not going to drive up to Queens, New York and be like, hold on now, who's on the Kev, your hoodie's ripped. Like, your pants are tattered. What happened? I never got into crypto, man. And it's like, I just can't function in society anymore at this point. We'll see where it goes. But anytime you lose that amount of money, it's certainly going to raise eyebrows there. Now, you ready for this report here, Kevin? We were talking about an hour number one. Britney Spears, Victor Wembanyama, his whole team. I got an AP news report here that has been retweeted around, and it says breaking. The Las Vegas police say surveillance video shows Britney Spears inadvertently hit herself in the face.
Oh, come on, man. What is going
on? That's why there's no charges filed?
This is... None of... I got to tell you, this story feels so fake, and I know it's not, but it's one of those headlines you read, you go, that's not real, and I'm just not invested myself in it. And it's almost better from that way, because now every update just sounds faker than the last.
Yes, it really does. Like, it's now also, you have to preface this by saying, and like, you try to be kind in this stuff. Like, Britney Spears, not all there, to say the slightest, over the past, like, 15, 20 years. Those court battles and, you know, taking over her money from her family and all this and that, and she's not fit to be a parent or whatever the courts are going through where she has protections in place. But you read that, like, when it first came out, like, it does seem a little bit odd. Like, Britney Spears, now, granted, it's not up to everybody where they notice it's Britney Spears and things happen, but it was odd. Like, okay, the security team saw a 5'3 female and just blasted her. You can't be near my 7'5" guy at this point. Say, hey, maybe getting a little bit mixed. Like, you have two sides of the story. Like, no. She tapped him on the shoulder. I tried to reach my hand in there because I didn't know who it was. A lot of people were around. I inadvertently struck her in the face, knocked her glasses off. We apologized. It was no big deal. But it seemed like a big deal was being made. Now, if that is the case where we have the... That's what I was asking for, Kevin. I just want to see video of this. If, like, she got bumped and sort of, like, bumped into herself and knocked her glasses off, this would be tremendous.
Now, so she was worked?
She took a bump. Yeah.
She sold. Yes. She sold the gimmick.
Yes.
Wow, got herself over. That's interesting. I guess, I don't know, why am I even bothering with this? But I guess, because I think it's pretty clear Victor is not the one who hit her in any fashion.
Yeah, his security is working a little stiff, you know what I mean? You know, she took one of those, like, Shawn Michaels, like, type reactions against Hogan. Yeah.
Yep,
like,
yep,
bouncing up on the ring 16 feet in the air after getting one, like, sort of little slap.
Look, I guess the thing is, maybe we should have realized something didn't add up, because Victor's security is probably a very seasoned group. And they
yeah, it's not his boys.
Like, yeah. They probably would have been able to handle this situation better than it's being come off. So, I guess it is believable that she bumped herself. I can't.
But why would she play? Yeah, exactly. Like, what's the end game for Britney Spears? It wasn't even like I'm going to press charge and, like, hey, we got the video. Like, what are we actually pressing charges with here? It looks like you got bumped a little bit and you bumped your own face. What are we doing
come
here
on,
at this
man.
Point?
It's yeah. Come on, man.
Now, in the basement brigade, did anybody ever, like, sell a little bit too hard? Like, hey, by the way, why are you holding your head over there? I barely hit you. No, I took a tumble over the couch.
Listen, you got to sell it.
You had to go in front of the parents and sell it, like, who did what here? Who's in trouble at this point?
I remember once. Hold on. All right, you ready? Mm-hmm. I'll open up the storybook.
Yep. Go ahead.
So there's a door in the dining room.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, right next to a wall. If you open it with reckless abandon, right?
Yeah.
It could, you know, leave a dent. And when you're younger, doors sometimes get open with reckless abandon.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of happened, and, you know, comes home, who did this? And I put on my working shoes, and I said it was somebody else, even though it was me. I don't remember which one I blamed it on. I think I might have blamed it on Connor, but all in all, I did end up kind of feeling too bad about it and said, actually, it was me. But that was, I still kind of regret that. It's a little evil, I feel, looking back on it, that I was
I like it, though.
Sell it to somebody else. Well, I couldn't
like
keep
it.
The gimmick alive. I felt
I sell everything. Like, if we're using wrestling terms in my house, the wife's always a little bit stiff around here. Me, I'm selling everything. When I get in trouble, and I get in trouble, here you go. You ready for yesterday? Like, this, like, I get yelled at for nonsense stuff, right? So we go out yesterday to Panera. Me, the wife, and the kid. Go out, pick up some salad. What did I have yesterday? It was a salad. I bought a soup, which was horrendous. So I ended up eating the salad. Then I'm looking at, like, what else I can eat in the refrigerator after that. But I'm getting yelled at here because, they, like, eat with a plate. So I said, well, hold on now.
Whoa.
Like, I'm eating a salad here. Like, it comes in the bowl already. Because she always gets upset. Like, if anything gets, like, on the table, it's like World War III in there. So I'm getting yelled at for that. But here's, like, the stories I'm trying to get to here, which I'm always selling at this point here.
Oh, man.
Like, if I eat something, I put, like, a spoon in the sink, and I'm, like, at the table. Like, it's only me. Kid might even be at school at this point. Who put this fork in the sink or this spoon in the sink? Now, this is directed directly to me. It's just me and the wife. So your boy DRS always goes the immediate response. I think it was the kid that did that. The kid's not home. But we know that it was me. She knows it was me. But I'm selling immediately here. Now, granted, other things, just simple stuff, right? Mother-in-law lives with us here. Got two dogs. Let the two dogs out back. Both the two dogs come in. She goes, hey, are they in the house? Like, I'm not watching them out. Are they in the house? No, they're out back, and I go upstairs. Meanwhile, she gets up and looks. No, they're actually in the kitchen. I'm selling all the time. Like, Stop asking me questions that you know the answer to. I'm selling right away all the time. All the time.
I don't mind that. Look, you know what?
Got to do it.
It's a good bit. That's a good bit. I like that there. Now, I think the fact that, like, you know, the idea is they want you to use a plate, so your initial move is then going to be to never use a plate, if I have to imagine, right?
Yes. But it's not. But again, I'm not using a plate because I just think it's funny. Like, when I go out and get, like, Chipotle, like, it already comes like the wrapper, like the de facto plate right there at that point. And here's my favorite thing, too, because when I used to go to my dad's house, they used to do this to me all the time. Make sure you clean up in there. Or, like, if they just clean the kitchen and then it's, like, time for, like, dinner a little bit later, I come in and I get something to eat. It's like, hey, make sure you don't make a mess in there. My response was always like, it's a kitchen. It's a table. Like, you're supposed to eat in the kitchen and at the table. Like, I never understood that there. I'm not looking to make a mess and, like, make a mockery out of the place. But the people that are like, I just cleaned up in there. I'm like, and your point is what? Like, what's the point here?
Yeah. Now, I will say, to put a closing deal on this, I have watched the video. Have you watched the video of the thing?
No, the Brittany? No.
Thing?
Uh-uh.
Oh, the video just got texted to you by our great producer, Chris.
Now, where is it? Was it emailed or what? Where is it? Still hits every time, man. See that? Like, Christian fell for it. He came right in with the answer there.
What'd you send me a tweet?
Yeah, exactly. See this.
Watch the video.
No, I didn't watch it yet. So give me. Now, am I going to get clarity on this? Is it going to like? What am I expecting? Yeah. Okay, go.
Everything is really easy to figure out once you watch the video.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait. It's going to be one of the most entertaining breaks that we've ever seen. So we got one more big segment to go, which we got more hot topics. There's plenty of hot topics to get after it, but we're going to get to the bottom of this Britney Spears video of the slap. And you knew TMZ would come with this stuff. It's what they do. We'll be right back here on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No charges here, Kevin. Looks like it was just a whack to the face that could have just been, hey, I'm sorry. But by the way, shout out to Webinyama. He actually didn't even turn around, Kevin, in that video. He just kept it moving out there. I don't even know if he knew what was going on at this point. But I think he actually said he didn't know who Britney Spears was. Probably, though. He's, what, 19?
100% believe that. 100% believe that. But 19 years old and not from here, Donnie. When was the last time Britney Spears was really in the news before this anyway?
Yeah, but I don't know about that, though, because I'm pretty sure that we're in the internet age and the social media age that, let me say, if somebody was coming up behind you didn't see it and they tapped you on the shoulder and someone's like, hey, Donnie, that was Britney Spears. He wouldn't say, like, I have no idea who that is. Somebody's like, dude, this is who Britney Spears is. I don't think he did not know. I just think he was sort of playing it off. It's like, I don't even know who that is.
No. Let me hold on. I actually think I'm going to get you to my side here by the end of this. So maybe he knows who Britney Spears is by name. But, Donnie, would you recognize Britney Spears?
He didn't
Spears
even
if
turn around.
Her?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. He probably thought it was like, hold on a minute. Now you're telling me there's a better chance that you 1,000%. Recognize Britney Spears on the street than LeBron James?
Yes, could be.
That's one of the craziest things I've heard in my entire life.
I mean, Justin Timberlake over LeBron, absolutely. Like, you're getting back to my wheelhouse back in the 90s, man. Come on.
Even let's pretend that that's the truth.
Yeah.
The world where Webinyama knows the name Britney Spears but couldn't recognize her in person is incredibly believable.
Well, he never turned around either. This wasn't like let's just say Webinyama was sitting at dinner facing Britney Spears from across the room. Didn't know it was her, right? But she's walking over and says hi or whatever. Like, I don't even know if he would know her at that point, but I think if you said the name, I think he would put two and two together.
Now, I actually don't really want to get into this, but things like aren't great with like Brit, right? Like that's kind of the...
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay. Because like the image of her running over, like the video, I guess I should say, not image, like she runs over like a fan, like I don't know, like someone of Britney Spears' level, you would think would have somebody that would be able to do that with a little bit more grace, and it would be like a cool thing, like. She doesn't look like a star in that moment.
I know she has two kids. I don't know if they live with her or not, but this could have been one of those so simple, like, hey, we're just getting a done dinner, and one of the kids goes, Mom, that's Victor Webinyama right there. Who is Victor Webinyama? That guy that just walked by. You want a picture? Let me go get it. Considering because Britney Spears probably 99% of the time can go up to anybody and tap him on the shoulder, famous, can I get a picture? Absolutely. So she was probably just like, hey, this is normal for me. Famous guy walks by, can get his attention, and we can take pictures and keep it moving. But it's just funny that because he doesn't turn around. Again, it's not like he was taking pictures of other people and she came up like face to face and was like, hey, Victor, can I get a picture? Whack. So it was kind of interesting the way it played out. I think it was a little much on the security team, but I guess better safe than sorry, because you technically don't know what anybody's MO is or if you saw it coming.
No, but that guy moved that hand before ever eyeing up Britney Spears. That's all I'm saying.
You saw her go right for the face, too. Like, as soon as that whack comes out, like, ooh, I just got smacked
in the nose. He didn't
hit
her. He moved her arm.
It was a good move, though. Yeah, but that was a whack.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but he didn't smack her. He moved her arm, and it ended up, you know, hitting her arm, hit herself in the face. She didn't do it herself, but it also is in a situation where he hit her. I mean, this is also... I'll tell you this, if this wasn't a Friday, I would have been trying to chop it up and move it on here quite some time ago.
This is massive. This is good stuff here. By the way, let's talk about this. Pro Football Talk just sent out a tweet. And behind the scenes, we're going to get into a little bit with Big Red Talk here and where he is on the pantheon of NFL coaches. But you know this sticks in my craw. You ready for this tweet? And by the way, if the tweet is coming from this, there is a quarterback series coming up on Netflix, which, again, I won't be watching. I don't care about that. I'll be enjoying football season. I don't need to hear about behind-the-scenes Patrick Mahomes. That's me. That's just my opinion.
I don't know if I believe that, but I'll let you finish.
All right. Now, the quarterback series is on Netflix. So they ask Andy Reid, hey, by the way, did you get, like, the blessing on this thing? He's like, yes, as long as the meetings between Reid and Holmes weren't recorded, which means, like, nothing that me and him are in the same room doing, which I always get a kick out of. Because you see it every once in a while. Like, Tom Brady used to be in with Bill Belichick's office. Hey, by the way, it's 9 o'clock at night on a Friday. I just roll over to Bill's office, and he popped off on the tape, and we BS and go over what we think is going to happen with Ed Reid out there and all that good stuff. Coaches being this paranoid, which, again, brings up the next thing. I don't think we know yet, do we, on who the Hard Knocks is going to be yet? Do we? Is it the Jets? We don't have it finalized. But the fact that, like, cameras are in the building, heaven forbid somebody sees a slant route that we're drawing up on the board, we will never win a football game this season. I love how panicked attacked these coaches are. Like, somebody might be seeing something they shouldn't be, let alone you having 75 plays every single week on tape. I love that stuff.
I wonder, though, if, and I don't know, maybe it is he's worried about people seeing his insane schemes.
Unbelievable.
Ring around the rosy.
Oh, but come on.
I wonder if it's maybe also just like Andy Reid's in there slandering opponents and he doesn't want, like, bulletin board material making the cut. Like,
I thought Big Red was a nice guy. Like, he's really getting after Mahomes and, like, it's beep, beep, beep every other word here. And, like, whoa, we haven't seen this side of Big Red yet, which I doubt it is. But just the fact that they don't want to see any of the day-to-day as if somebody could steal it, as if any one of his hundreds of coaches that have either been assistant coaches, you know, assistants to assistants, don't know what Andy Reid does in meetings. I always still get a kick out of that, saying to yourself, I don't know if you go back in high school, right? Back in my day, I used to say.
Yeah.
Other teams, Kevin, and this, that's what I love about the 1990s. Like, nobody... The films that you exchange with other teams in high school football is like on a Tuesday, one coach of your side would meet one coach on the other side on a Tuesday night at like a Wawa or a gas station and trade the tape from the week before. Like, as opposed to, hey, we're going to get our own guy out there and film it. But like the paranoia of how do they know? Trust me right now. They have every single play Andy Reid has ever called live on tape in an NFL game. And they're worried about like, hey, man, if you catch this one play in a meeting or if I use a different cadence, it's unbelievable how crazy they are. Because you know a play is coming. You can know what's coming on Kansas City and you can't stop it anyway.
Right. The reason, though, by the way, I just want to make this point here in terms of that series, the, you know, quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh, is what I'll say. Like those are who are the three guys again? That
I don't know. It's got to be big. I didn't even see, I know the series is coming. I knew Mahomes was in it.
Yeah.
I'm not even so sure. Is it Josh Allen? Like, I don't even know who the rest of the guys are.
No, it's not. It's like almost like tiered off in the way that you would expect. I thought maybe Tannehill was in it, but it's one of those things, Donnie, that I could see there being like some headline stories that come out of, and from what I know of you, you actually like though a good documentary if it's done well. Like, I don't blame you for you kind of growing tired of Hard Knocks, because Hard Knocks at some point just got suckered into let's just focus on the guy who has no chance to make this team angle of it all. But this series quarterback could actually focus on relevant players. I actually think there might be some juice to this.
I don't know. I don't know if it catches my attention all that much. But you're right. Like the thing I always like about the NFL, too, is, Kevin, I think a couple years ago, the Eagles were, was it Amazon Prime, maybe? Like the in-season, so quote-unquote. I didn't watch a single snap of that. I didn't watch 1 minute of that. Like, I don't know. I'm in the midst of football season. Like, I don't want to watch what happened 2 weeks ago when I know what happened in that game. But I do like to watch Hard Knocks because we're pretty much starved for football. It's like the beginning of football. I don't go out of my way. But if I'm laying in bed and I go, hey, you know what? You can always go on like on demand and get it and just watch it really quick. I don't mind that because I do like to see stuff. And again, if it's the Jets, it is intriguing. But if they were just to throw up there a random NFL team like the other teams, I'm like, no, I don't. I could care. Put the Arizona Cardinals on there. You got to be kidding me. Over on there's like 15 people, and they would all be Cardinals players actually watching it. Nobody would care. But I just find it interesting. Like, Big Red, yeah, as long as he didn't show like anything from the facility.
Yeah, but just so you know, it's Mahomes, Cousins, and Mariota. Like, that's an interesting. Like, Mahomes is Mahomes.
When was it taped?
No.
When
was it filmed? Last season.
Oh,
last
see, that's season. Even worse. Yeah, come on.
We'll see. But I think Netflix usually does a really nice job with their documentaries there. So you get to see kind of Cousins through the journey, playoffs lost, Mahomes win a Super Bowl, and Mariota get benched. Like, I think there could be some juice.
Now, you know
there.
What the juice would come from, K-Dub? The Eagles won the Super Bowl, and I got to watch Mahomes on this get taken apart by a nasty pass rush on a nice surface. How about that? By the way, fast forward into this season. A little extra juice in the room there for Birds going to Kansas City this year. Try to even up that score, what even though it doesn't that? Matter. I think it's late. Is it later in the season?
I don't know. What is the game that they made, like, insanely late again? Was it the Bengals game or something like that, where they once again made the Chiefs-Bengals game, like, way, way deep in that season?
Which one is that? I got to check out the Philadelphia Eagles schedule. But I know they're going there, which I'm actually really looking forward to because it's still the semblance of both teams, like the same teams. So it should be one here. Let me see. All right, let me go to Pro Football Focus here. Let's go roster, lineup, schedule. All right, let's see where this game is at. So game one, obviously, is the Patriots all the way down. Off a bye, Monday, November the 20th. Which, by the way, I mean, as I look at the schedule, this stretch coming off the bye for the Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Cowboys, Seahawks.
What? Wait, Chiefs, Bills, Niners?
Yes, in a row.
Yeah, Eagles are going to go 2-1 in those games. People are going to still say they haven't played.
By the way, two of those games are at home, though. And the best, again, you know what's great about this? Because we're sitting here talking in, like, you know, July on this type of stuff. And I know it's a little Eagle-centric at this point. But, my, this, if the Eagles lose to the Chiefs in Kansas City, so be it. Ah, I told you it wasn't the field. Okay, I can handle that. If the Eagles slap the Niners again at home in that early December game, that will be so much fun. Because, again, the Eagles beat the Chiefs. You sort of can get those, I told you, if that Super Bowl was played there. But imagine the Niners come to Philadelphia and win in December. Like, told you if we had a quarterback, we were so much better than that team. There are some great storylines for the NFL coming up, as long as it plays out where everybody's somewhat healthy and still in the playoff race at that point. It's going to be fun.
Nah, I hope the Niners are out there using Debo Samuel at quarterback, man. I told you, that Niners team hit the full transition, Donnie, into the loser Saints category. Every single year, the Saints would complain, well, if not for this, we'd have won the Super Bowl. It's like, dude, quiet. That was, listen, I'm telling you, that was for me the end of that Saints team. When they lost to Minnesota and said
they would have beat the brakes off the Eagles.
One of the most ridiculous, the Eagles killed the Vikings, and somehow the Saints thought that they would have killed the Eagles despite losing
Chris Long
to the Vikings.
He used to do this, he still does the podcast now, and his always response was like, anybody was getting it that night at the Lincoln Financial Field. Didn't matter. But I did like that. Hey, we couldn't beat the team in front of us, but if we would have beat them, we would have rolled that next week.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff overall.
And then lost to Kirk Cousins at the Dome. I hate that clown.
Yes, correct.
And that is now.
I remember watching that live. Whew.
Ow. That's now that Niner team. They are done. They are not getting back to a Super Bowl.
Man, we are so close to the NFL. By the way, we have a quick segment here coming up before we get you guys out of here. Skip Bayless wants Charles Barkley on Undisputed. Now, why would he do that?
Yeah, because
Charles has more money. A daily show for Charles? Stop. The reason why he probably loves TNT is it's like half the year and it's late at night and he can relax with his boys. Why would he be getting up at like 4 in the morning 5 days a week?
It's not. It's just that Charles called Skip an idiot and Skip went, oh my God, do I have a chance here to bait him into coming onto my show? Because I have no co-host since Shannon left.
By the way, I do like the term barbecue chicken when you're about to line somebody up here. Shaquille O'Neal had a good one the other day, which we'll talk about briefly after the break.
Yeah.
Make sure you come back. It's good stuff.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here to end hour number two. Now, we talk about Shaquille O'Neal. One of my favorite things about Shaq is so big, so dominant, so talented, but with rabbit ears, even that he's been removed from the game for basically 20 years. Actually, not that long, maybe 10 years at this point here. But he always thinks he's the best, the greatest ever big man, which he probably does have somewhat of an argument for. But I love the fact that these guys, like Kevin Durant, by the way, Kevin, on Twitter, like, hey, by the way, just made up a Threads account, come find my burner, sensational stuff. Love KD playing the villain. It's one of the best, hilarious, right on point tweets to poke fun at yourself and also get reactions. But Shaq got a reaction. Why? Because somebody just hit him with the ad, like, hey, by the way, man, prime like Embiid would just, like, cook you in public. And he hit the quote tweet and basically was like, not only would he not dominate me, like, it would be one of the most embarrassing performances Embiid ever had. Sensational.
Like, it really is marvelous how insulted Shaquille O'Neal is at the notion that there is any big man that has ever existed. Like, there are guys he obviously respects.
Yes.
They are all older than him. It's essentially just Kareem,
like Bill Russell,
and Wilt. Bill Russell.
Yep.
Like, Shaq probably secretly be like, I'll tell you this right now, man. Like, Tim Duncan was good. There wasn't a darn thing he could do with me on that court. I'll tell you that. Like that, because that's Shaq. That's just how, like, people always talk about Michael's competitiveness there. I'm just like, Shaq gets insulted to this day if you dare suggest that there's a big man that could stand next to him.
Well, I do like the arguments for the game. Hey, Shaq, like, we'd be irrelevant in today's NBA because, like, Embiid would take you out at the three-point line and cross you over and just, you know, break your ankles. But he is under, like, hey, did you ever watch my offensive game? Like, Shaq was like a pull-up shooter from 17 feet, which he wasn't. He was just, and again, he would still be, because he's so big and so strong, but the game has evolved where big men got to do way more things, but I do take umbrage. I like that he takes umbrage to things that don't go his way in arguments. So, good stuff here. That'll wrap up our number two. How about that? Entertainment? Bring a little TMZ factor out to you. It's what we do for Christian Bond, the Wolves of Steel, Donnie Whiteside, Kevin Walsh. We'll be back on Monday for Moneyline. Have a great weekend.